from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Coming up at 10:30, Matt Markovich is going to come in and tell us and talk about what's left in Olympia. But right now, good morning to you, Ursula.
Good morning, G. It is time to bring on a guest, so we're going to get right to it.
What's new at 10?
And when we started our show about 3 years ago, one of our goals was to make sure that we always get newsmakers on the show on a regular basis. And as you know, many of our listeners do live in the city of Kent. We've covered many of the issues, including homelessness and crime that affect the city. But we haven't had a chance to speak to Kent's mayor until now. So Mayor Dana Ralph is joining us live. She's going to be giving her State of the City speech tomorrow night. And we're thrilled to have you on, Mayor.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. So let's talk about your speech tomorrow and the state of the city. What are some of the things that you are going to highlight tomorrow?
So the fun thing about the state of the city is it lets us look back at the accomplishments from last year, but also looking forward. And so we'll start out by just sort of talking about the state of the economy in the city of Kent, how much growth we've had in our industrial valley, meaning new companies, new jobs. And then we'll be featuring some information about some of our investments we've been making in parks, other infrastructure, and we'll be highlighting the harder topics around things like public safety.
Okay, so I'm going to get specific because I know one of the things that we covered recently was the homeless camping ban that was strengthened. The law that was already on the books was strengthened, and you passed an ordinance that bans camping in public areas where it's destructive to the environment and disruptive to the property's intended purpose. What has the impact of that ordinance been?
So it's given our officers some additional tools, put a little bit of teeth, like you said, strengthen that ordinance. We're not seeing, and we didn't anticipate seeing any increase in the criminalization of homeless. Like, we're not sending people to jail, but it allows us to go in, offer folks services, and then have them, if they choose to not accept those services, move them out of those areas. We were just seeing too much damage done to wetlands and our watersheds and that kind of thing.
And where do they go if they don't accept those services? What is the process then?
Then they are free to go wherever they choose. We don't have any, we can't tell somebody where they can go. All we can do is ask if they want services and we can make that connection.
Right. A recent Seattle Times investigation looked into how much cities in King County are spending on homeless and found that in 2021, Kent spent about $1.1 million on homelessness, about $8 per capita. Seven cities in King County spend at least double that amount per capita. Tooele, Burien, Redmond, Kirkland, Auburn, and Bellevue. The seventh city, Seattle, spends $148 per person. There was the Times quoted a homeless truck driver from Kent who was living in Pioneer Square because there was no shelter for men. You guys have 82 shelter beds in Kent, but it says and it seems that there's only for women and or children. Does Kent need more shelter space?
I think that every city could use more shelter space. One thing I do want to clarify, the numbers used in that Times article are not correct. We spend significantly more than that on homelessness. That information was obtained through the King County Regional Homeless Authority through their plan. And so there's quite a few cities that are frustrated with the fact that those numbers aren't correct. We're spending a lot more. Kent also does have, we've got 88 units of permanent supportive housing, one of the only options available like that in South County. I think we were the first city to have that. And then we work very closely with a lot of service providers on finding temporary shelter space with the idea of getting people moved into a more permanent solution.
Mayor, you said that the city of Kent spends a lot more on that than what was indicated in the Times article. You also said you have not criminalized homelessness. How would you describe the homelessness issue right now in the city of Kent?
I think it's the same as it is all over the county, all over South County. We've got a lot of folks that are living homeless for a variety of reasons, continuing to try and offer people services, but we cannot force anyone to take them.
Right now, one of the problems that is plaguing all over the country, and when it comes to law enforcement and staffing with law enforcement, recruiting for that, right now, Kent Police Chief Rafael Padilla told the city council that Kent needs 29 new officers to get a reasonable amount of officers for the city's population size. Your thoughts on recruiting and for officers for the city of Kent?
Sure. So the good news is that for the budgeted positions we have in our police department, we are fully staffed. We did quite a bit of work over the last year in recruitment, have a lot of officers lined up or are currently in the academy. What the chief was referring to was that ideal staffing number. So for a city our size, if you look across the country, what an average department number of officers they have, the state of Washington is 51st in the country for officers per capita, lowest in the entire country. So in Kent, that would mean to get us up just to average level staffing, what we would need for a population our size with the type of crime activity that we have, that kind of thing, we need at least another 30 officers. There's just no funding source. There was a bill proposed in both the House and the Senate this session that would have given cities a tax credit for existing sales tax, mm-hmm. that would have been able to help us fund that. Both the chief and I testified in support, and in the House, and the committee chose to not even vote on the issue. So we're raising the flag. We're asking for help, but the legislature needs to come along with us.
This is the voice of Kent Mayor Dana Ralph here on the G and Ursula Show. And you said that you guys, so it's kind of some good news as far as where you are with staffing right now. What have you done with recruiting? What's the secret sauce, Mayor?
So a couple of things we did very early before almost any other city. We offered a pretty significant lateral bonus if somebody was already an officer in the state of Washington. Negotiated a solid contract for one of the highest paid departments in the state. But we also have recruiting some really young, creative officers that were able to just go out and connect with a lot of new hires, people that may have not necessarily considered law enforcement as a career. Social media is a pretty powerful tool. You should, our future cops on Instagram is a great way to see what Kent Police Recruiting is doing, and it's paid off.
That's certainly good news. Mayor, one of the big issues right now plaguing the state is a lack of affordable housing. And as you know, in Olympia, there are several bills that would allow for the expansion of what's called that missing middle housing, backyard cottages, ADUs. I guess I want to know, where do you stand on allowing these additional units, backyard cottages, duplexes, triplexes, townhomes in the city of Kent?
So we actually already allow for all of those types of housing in the city of Kent, not up to the degree that this legislation, House Bill 1110, is looking at. They're running in the between 4 and 6 units per lot.
Right.
Our concern in the city of Kent is it does not create affordable housing. What we will see is our already affordable housing. We have more naturally occurring affordable housing stock in Kent in the South County than any place else on the west side of the mountains. What we will see is developers coming in and buying up what is now affordable housing and putting in then 5 or 6 units of what will no longer be affordable housing. So that is our biggest concern. This bill plays itself out very differently depending on the city. If you look at our housing stock numbers, we have more in that middle income range from about 50% average median income up to 80% than most other places. So we're really concerned about losing that stock, and then we don't have the ability for the infrastructure to keep up with that. I don't have water and sewer mains in place for, increasing, quadrupling any one of our neighborhoods. And then we already talked about things like police staffing.
Mayor, this is our first chance to have you on the air, and I would love for you, we often talk about the negative things that impact different cities like Kent and Auburn and Linwood and Everett, but we don't talk about the great things that are happening. Here is your chance, your elevator speech. What is it that you are so proud of in the city of Kent?
Oh, I love it. No one ever asked me that question, so thank you very much for that. Kent is a really strong community. We're a big city that still has that small town feel, strategically located between Seattle and Tacoma. We've got an amazing park system, lots of access to nature for kids, families, seniors. We have an incredibly strong immigrant community, meaning that you can find stores and restaurants literally for things all around the world. Very, very committed population, and it's just an all around great place to live.
Man, I love to hear that. Love to hear that. And by the way, shout out to Kent, because Kent is where I used to live at one point in time. I used to live right there by French Field, right in those apartments right there, Mayor.
Very nice. I graduated from KM, so I have to say go Royals.
Hey, go Royals. That was your chance. Well Mayor, you got to come on again. Like, this is the first time you've been on the show. Don't stay a stranger now.
Oh, absolutely. I would love to come back. I'm always happy to have a conversation and talk honestly about the right air challenges, but then celebrate the good things, because there's a lot of them.
Oh, we really appreciate you. That's the mayor of Kent, Dana Ralph. Thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of your day and this week.
Thank you. Don't forget State of the City tomorrow at 6:30.
State of the City. Shout out to Kent.
Thank you, Mayor.
All right.
This is good. When's the last time, like, I love your question, Ursula, that you asked. You said, you know what? Tell us some good news about Kent, because there's amazing people in Kent, amazing things are going in Kent. Your boy, me, I lived in Kent.
I know. I was thinking about something over the weekend. I didn't even run it past you guys this morning because, you know, I was scrambling and because I lost an hour of sleep. But I was thinking, you know, and it's not our job to do PR for folks, but... You know how often we talk about all the crime and all, you know, and I was thinking of this as I was driving through different parts of Seattle, and there were certain things that were just making me really excited. Again, looking at this, just the sheer beauty of this region. Uh-huh. But then there were things that were just hacking me off. Like, I drove through the I-90 tunnel, and there's more graffiti than ever before. The graffiti is just God awful.
Right.
And as I'm driving around looking everywhere, the juxtaposition of this beautiful region that we live in and then just trash all over the place, graffiti all over the place. And I was thinking to myself, you know, we need to, you know, talk about the problems, come up with the solutions, but I also want to talk about some of the things that are working.
That ain't good radio.
I know.
I was told. We were told that kind of radio isn't good. You want the ratings, so you don't want to talk about.
I know.
You don't want to talk about the police or the firemen coming and saving the Lois's cat in the tree. That's not good news.
Okay, I wasn't going to go that far, but even looking at the city of Seattle, I was going to offer up, like, hey, police chief Adrian Diaz, would you like to come on to the G and Ursula show on a regular basis and let us know? Okay, we'll talk to you about the problems, but also let us know, hey, what is it like? Where are you making some progress? Because we only hear about everything that's going wrong.
Right.
Well, what's going right?
Ooh, what's going right? Adrian Diaz, you listen, Chief? Wait, I mean, you're making this great. This is stuff that we usually talk about off the air.
Off the air, exactly.
And you're bringing this on.
Yes.
But first of all, I'm proud of you. This is not like you.
I know.
You like for everything to be
like buttoned up.
Yeah, but no, look at you. You're like, hey, I just want to give this idea and all that. Yeah. This is great.
Well, just because, again, I was reminded about how much I love this region.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't trade it for anything else. But there are things that, yes, they frustrate me. But if I only hyper-focus on everything that frustrates me,
uh-huh,
I'm losing sight of the things that make me love this community.
Right.
So I think we can do both, I guess, is my point.
Love it. All right. Well, let's go ahead and find out what's left to to be talked about down in Olympia. Matt Markovich is going to join the show next. It's Gian Ursula.
And you're listening to the Gian Ursula Show. Thank you so much for tuning in on this Monday morning, morning where you were probably a little more tired than usual after maybe losing that hour of sleep.
No, just you.
No.
No, just you.
You started the morning saying you were really tired. No, I remember.
I misremembered.
Oh, okay. Well, it is time to check in on what is going on in Olympia. What has survived so far? What is dead? Apparently... Okay, I'm not going to say this. Moderate drinkers can breathe a sigh of relief. Is this good news? Oh, brother. Matt Markovich is here in studio. So it looks like the effort to lower the DUI limit is dead.
That's right. We're not going to be joining Utah anytime soon. The only other state that has a blood alcohol level of 0.05. They want to drop it down to 0.08. Actually, the governor weighed in on it, and here's what he had to say.
I am disappointed if that doesn't make it across the finish line. It may be one of those ideas that takes more than 1 year. This was a new idea for the legislature. I was fully supportive of that, making that change.
Yeah, so it had some good support. You just, again, behind the scenes, counting the votes. It just didn't have the votes this time. I think maybe it might be too radical.
Who was the biggest... detractor. Where was the biggest pushback coming from?
It was the restaurants.
Okay.
The restaurants said no because, one, it's already hard to tell who's 0.08 right now. And they're obviously restaurants and bars are liable for if they send out a patron out there who's been drinking and they get in a car. And so they wanted training for their staff to kind of recognize what a 0.05 is. And you know, the experts were saying... You can't even tell if someone is buzzed at a 0.05. It's really hard. So I think that was one of the reasons why.
I think they need to change that too, right? I think they need to change where bartenders or bar or establishments are responsible for someone going out there because you don't know. I mean, someone can sit there at the table and maybe have five or six drinks, right? And could be calm, cool as a cucumber. And leave up out of there and something happens and then you come to find out, you look at the camera and you're like, oh, well, you served this person five or six times. There's no way in the world that bar should be responsible for the actions of that adult.
I hear what you're saying, but there's a huge issue in Olympia about liability. And I'm going to make the big leap here about to guns. You know, a gun doesn't kill somebody. But the person who pulls the trigger on the gun, the drink doesn't kill anybody. But if you get behind the wheel of a car... You're liable. So, you know, they're making the gun manufacturers. So there's a big push in Olympia to say, you guys provided the product like alcohol. Therefore, the user should be trained on how to be responsible with a gun or alcohol. And I'm just giving you a prevailing feeling in Olympia. There's that push that, you know, let's go to the people who create the so-called sin stuff. Mm-hmm. And that could be, you know, in your eyes of judgment, guns or alcohol. But that's a big push in Olympia. So that's one of the reasons why I think it failed.
You don't find out till it's too late. You know what I mean by that? When it comes to the 0.08 or 0.05, you'll find out real soon that it doesn't even matter. You go get in a car accident at a 0.04 or hit someone at a 0.03 and watch how that impacts your life. Mm-hmm. Don't do it, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the best advice. Okay, let's talk about the police pursuit bill, because I think that is something that really has gotten everyone's attention.
Right.
And no matter where you are, what side of the aisle you are. And I heard that Governor Inslee is even in support of something passing. So what's happening there?
Absolutely. He wants to have something passed. He actually endorsed the bill, that Senate bill that we talked about that came out of nowhere, that provided some restrictions. People will say it's still too narrow to pursue. It's basically, police are allowed to pursue on reasonable suspicion someone who's been committing a violent crime, they believe, rather than the higher level, which is probable cause. So the governor has come out and so that it's now in the House. where they rejected it already once before, a similar bill. And now we're expecting to have some changes on that. We haven't heard what the changes are going to be yet. So that's where we're in a sitting pattern. So right now what's happening in Olympia is you have the House and the Senate. Both have passed all their bills that they're going to do. It had nothing to do with the budget. And it's gone to the other side. And now they're all having hearings all over again on the House is hearing the Senate bill. That's what's happening this week. It's going to go a lot faster in about the next 2 weeks about deciding things. But that is what's happening in Olympia right now.
Okay, the other thing that we talked about was Senate Bill 5536 creating a gross misdemeanor penalty for drug possession.
Same situation. Oh, yeah, very much alive. That has to pass. Again, we've talked about that before where they have to have a bill. Otherwise, come July 1st, it goes back to nothing where you can stand on the corner conceivably with a kilo of cocaine and they can't do anything with you about you.
Oh, you just had to throw that kilo of cocaine to get G going. Okay.
I've been watching Narco too much.
Okay. Why don't we go through just real quickly, though. What is dead right now? School start age.
Yeah. School meals. What did you say?
The starting age, a bill to lower the compulsory school age from 8.
I don't know. It's not on my list. So
it did not make it out of the Senate.
Yeah, okay.
Apparently.
Did not make it out of the Senate. Are you going through the list of...
Yeah, so what else is dead?
I mean, banning homeless camps near schools,
That's dead?
Yep. That died a long time ago. So wait. That was a Republican-pushed bill, and you couldn't be within 1,000 feet. Of a school, a homeless camp,
and so now you can,
yep,
fam.
I mean, let's put it this way. Let's back up for a beginning. Technically, putting up a tent inside the city of Seattle is illegal anyway. You can't do it unless you're on private property. So there is a no camping ordinance that's been in existence for decades. Hmm. So now they're just saying we're going to not allow illegal encampments within 1,000 feet of the school. That died. The reining in the governor on emergency powers, that's dead.
That one, I would have been in favor of that one.
Yeah.
Okay, and then single family zoning.
Single family, that's a big one. Single family zoning is going the removal of single family zoning, so you can put a triplex, quadplex. That's moving forward with a lot of that's going to pass.
Oh.
I really believe that's going to pass because wow. Everybody and that all the cities and counties are going, oh, no, because they have all these zoning rules for their houses and they're going to have to. Here's the state coming in and changing everything.
Mm-hmm.
Even for me, I actually have a piece of plan in SeaTac that I'd like to develop and I can't. I've gone to the city of SeaTac and they're putting limits on me. If this bill passes, freeze up those limits.
You happy about this?
I am happy about it. So maybe I should talk about
here.
It. You know? I got a little biasness about it.
Yeah. Got some bias, huh?
Maybe that's why I didn't bring it up.
Above 25,000. Look at you.
Yeah,
okay.
You're okay with changing the character of the neighborhood.
Hey, I'm just going along with what the state. They want to have increased density. So do I. You know?
No. Well, so are you.
Yeah.
So you and Matt share something in common here.
Matt, can you believe it?
Hey, I try not to be opinionated. I mean, I'm trying to, you know.
Okay, wait. Well, just real quick, because we're running out of time.
Oh, no.
Okay. Chef mentioned that there's something regarding those little travel-size shampoos and conditioners.
Oh, yeah. So,
what's that?
So they're hearing that one, getting rid of the little toiletries that you get in the hotels.
What?
Yeah. So here we go. 112,000 hotel rooms in the state. And here's the irony. The bill says the hotels cannot offer any shampoo, conditioner, soap, whatever, unless it's bigger in a bottle that's bigger than 6 ounces. Now, we've all been trained by TSA to not carry anything more than 6 ounces. It has to be 3 ounces. So if you pick up a little shampoo in the hotel right now, which is going to be about 3 ounces, it'll be okay to take through TSA. In the future, it'll be 6 ounces, and you can't take it through TSA. And
okay, but the taking it through TSA is not the reason that
I know.
Take
I'm
those
just
bottles.
I'm doing a comparison here. I know. Well, there was a reason why. Do you carry it in your bag? I do. But the bottom line is that the industry wants a tax break. They said it's going to cost $17.5 million to install all those dispensers in the hotel rooms. 116,000. Sorry, and it's going to cost $17.5 million. Give me a tax break, Mr. State, hey, because you make me do that.
Look here. I love the hotels that already are doing it with the dispensers, with the soap. I used to get mad every time you see a little bottle. How in the, that little bottle ain't going to get me clean. You see what I'm saying? That, so then me and Lillian, we go to the hotel, and Lillian and I are supposed to get clean on this one little bitty bottle of soap. That's one squirt. Squirt, done.
I know.
And that's not even my left leg. Left leg, left butt cheek. By the time that's it, that whole bottle's gone, Ursula.
Oh, I hear you. I say, do you see my hair? And then they come in and give me handfuls of bottles of shampoo and conditioner.
Yeah. Hey, thank you, Matt.
No, you're welcome.
You didn't make me mad today. Well,
I started to.
You did with the kilo thing.
I didn't give enough time.
Yeah, you did that. Hey, coming up next, scenario. My cat needs $7,000 surgery, and my partner is being a jerk about it. We do that next, Jen Ursula. Ursula Show. I'm trying to figure out what kind of mood Nick is in today. The music, Nick, what's up?
It's a chill, jazzy Monday. I'm feeling it, you know. We're easing into the week, as we said.
Okay, all right. Let's get to scenarios.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
I don't have children. My cats are my babies. And last November, my 7-year-old cat was diagnosed with an aggressive cancer. Since then, I have been trying to care for him and make his final days as happy and peaceful as possible. He's still alive, almost as a miracle, and he actually has more energy and seems to be getting better. The vet told me he is now strong enough to have surgery to prolong the cat's life a few more months. He said without it, he might live 3 months, but said maybe 7 months with surgery. But the surgery and medication will cost about $7,000. I think it's a no-brainer. He's been such a good cat to me. He's part of my family. My husband doesn't see it quite the same. He said that I'm lucky to have had the cat this long and that we're going on vacation in May and I needed to put him to sleep before that planned trip. He went on to say that we can't afford to keep the cat alive just for a few months and go on our vacation. I can't believe what he said. It's even worse because he has never apologized for being so insensitive. I haven't spoken to him since he said this last Wednesday. The more I think about it, the angrier I get. So yesterday I called and scheduled surgery without telling him. This is one of my babies. Help me with this. Am I wrong or what? 888-973-5476 is the State Roofing text line. Ursula, you know I'm a cat person. I'm about to pour out a little liquor for the cat. This one's for the homies. Bye-bye. $7,000 for a few more months?
Wait. $7,000? Okay. So I'm not particularly fond of cats, but that has no bearing on my answer, because this is what I would say about a dog, too.
Okay.
You're
not saving Scooter for $7,000?
We have spent probably at least $7,000 on Scooter. Now, at this juncture, with Scooter being 13 years old, and if the vet were to tell me Scooter could live 7 months with an additional $7,000 plus all these meds, to 7 months, there's no guarantee, or maybe 3 months if you just let him, I would just give Scooter those last 3 months and spoil him rotten, right, even more than he is right now.
Eat whatever you want.
And, yeah, because there's no guarantee with all that money that you have spent, and this is no shame on vets, but I have yet to go to a veterinarian where any action or any activity or any sort of remedy doesn't cost less than $1,000.
Right.
So it's easy to rack up a huge bill. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate if you don't have pet insurance. Yeah. So I'm going to say what I would do would be give that cat the best 3 months. That said, she's already decided that she is willing to spend that money.
Yeah, sure did.
So she'll just have to work that out.
Get a divorce.
But she is likening that kitty to
a baby.
Mm-hmm. And I would have a different answer, very different answer, if we're talking about a human.
The way Lillian, The way Lillian be talking to the cats, I'd be like, man, I'm starting to question this whole thing. Hey, what do you got there, chef?
Spend what you can afford. It's that simple. You know, if it's going to set you back, like, for example, I need a new car. So there's no way I'm spending $7,000 to treat cancer in my dog, Valentine, because I need a new car. And, like, I wouldn't be able to buy a car if I had to spend $7,000 on the dog. Your financial situation might be different. Just spend what you can afford. That being said, how much did your new baby cat cost? How much?
I mean,
are you telling me you wouldn't drop $7,000 on a cat that cost how much to buy?
I'm about dollars and cents. But Frankie didn't cost over $7,000.
And Frankie's at the infancy.
Anywhere
of,
close?
Hey, close. Hey, Frankie, you about to leave so soon? All right, player, let me pour out a little something for you.
That's a lot of dollars for a cat.
Wait a minute. Paul in DuPont has a great answer.
What?
She's keeping that cat alive for her. At this point, maybe she's making that cat suffer.
Oh, good stuff, Paul.
Good point.
What do you got, Brother Nick?
It comes down to it. Is life worth it at this point? Sounds like they need to draw the line. The feline's been taken good care of throughout its life. Money ain't worth it at this point. I think the cat needs to step aside and run its course. Get back. And if it were up to me in my situation at an old age, I wouldn't want to hinder anybody financially, medically either. So let alone a cat, it's out of the bag.
Wow, we got a lot of people texting in right now. Many, many. Shauna says, similar situation with our golden retriever. We chose no surgery to give our boy the best time that he has left. Do not make the cat go through surgery and recovery. I mean, because there's no guarantee that they're even going to make it through that for an additional few months.
No. I think Chef kind of wins this one because that's a good point. If you got $7,000 like that, spend it.
Still didn't answer my question.
What? How about... Frankie wasn't $7,000.
Scooter was $750.
And Frankie wasn't $1,000. How about that?
What is this? The Price is Right?
Man, come on now. We can't put personal business
somewhere
out there.
Between one and, okay, we'll go with that.
Somewhere between one and $7,000.
Wait, you can't put personal business out there?
Not in the streets.
That has never stopped you from getting my personal business out there.
You're the only one with the mouth that can open and close, though.
The G and Ursula Show is not good for putting out personal business, Ursula.
Noted.
Hey, coming up next on the G and Ursula Show, Chef is back. We get to have him for agree to disagree. You guys know how he gets on this stuff. Ursula's doing research right now, and I'm getting ready to go mess with one of the bosses. We do that next. G and Ursula.